Thank you for that beautiful prayer. Prayer is what, folks? The breath of the soul. Yes. If you will take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans 5:19, and while you're turning to that, I would like to remind our old. I could get in trouble with that. Our faithful members, that year after year we've had this Christmas tree that you could bring a special donation, and it goes to the land payment or building fund. And it's been less than 5 years. How many know how much this little group has paid against our $130,000 loan? Does anybody have a clue? I was very surprised, but see, my faith has been tested over and over again, but it's been over $48,000 in a little over 4 years. And I say praise the Lord for that, because we're not a large congregation. For those that don't know, we have bought 20 acres over on Highway 1, beautiful acres. They had to have some repairs, a deep canyon there, and we've had it filled in, and it will be smoothed over, and very soon, and I heard, and I was one of them, over 4 years ago, I said, us old fogies probably never will see a church over there. But the way we're paying it off, maybe some of us old fogies will be there when we build a beautiful new church to praise the Lord. So if you feel impressed, you're welcome to come after the church. We have envelopes here if you need more. Then Alice has those. And before we read our text, I had planned to say something last week, but the person was not able to be here because of an unfortunate accident in his family. But he is here today, and I would like to ask you a question. 2 weeks ago, I spoke on there's a wrong way and a right way to keep the commandments. We do not keep the commandments or try to keep them to gain salvation, but we keep them as a result of being with Jesus. And while I was preparing for that sermon, I wondered what is the biggest roadblock of us not keeping the commandments. Can you think of any one thing? And if you can, speak up. Selfishness. That's certainly one. Many years ago, I was in the Army, and I was stationed out in the middle of nowhere with nothing to do in the frozen north of Chicago. Out of Chicago, I found a little town that had a small airport. I made $40 a month, so I wanted to take flying lessons. And that $40 a month wouldn't hardly get me off the ground. But the fellow said, I don't know if he had pity on me or he really needed me, but he said, if you'll clean up the restrooms and the place and gas and oil the planes and wash them, I'll trade for flying time. Well, that was a godsend to me, because that's what I always wanted to do when I was even younger. I had model airplanes that went around in circles. So I began to take flying lessons. And I learned something there that I have to refer back to quite often. The instructor would start you out with the basics, and then later on he would have the airplane to stall. Now, that doesn't mean that the motor cut off, but that means you lost flying speed and lift, and the plane would just take a nosedive. Well, what would you have to do to get it back to where it would be is pick up speed, and then it would level itself out. So over and over and over again, we would do stalls. Well, I got pretty good at it. Because doing a stall, it falls and the wings are equal, so it would go straight down and take a dip. You know, got kind of boring. But then he went into climbing turn stalls. And that's where you go up and start turning. And then when it stalls, it doesn't come down even. The other wing drops down. But if you leave it alone, it will eventually straighten itself out. And I see a few pilots here. And I was hoping our B-29 bomber pilot was here, but I don't think that would apply on a B-29 bomber. But a small airplane, it does. So eventually, I had to go out solo and do my climbing turn stalls, and it got boring, and I got steeper and steeper until finally it dropped in and went to a spin. And that's terrifying if you're in an airplane not knowing what to do, and the earth is going around and around and around, and you're losing altitude rapidly. But somewhere in the back of my mind or in my hearing, the pilot said, if you ever get in trouble, what should you do?
Get your hands off everything.
That's right. Oh, and you can pray too, but sometimes he just says, turn loose. Take your feet off the rudders, off the pedals, and turn loose. And the ground was coming up pretty fast, and, you know, does this instructor really know what he's talking about? Well, what I was doing wasn't helping. So I did. And you know the story because I'm still here. It just leveled out as pretty as you ever saw. So many times I have used that when I get in trouble. And sometimes that still small voice says, turn loose, Jerry. And it'll be all right. So there's a right way and a wrong way of keeping the commandments. And we will discuss that in our second sermon. So 5:19, Romans 5:19 says, for by one man, and we know who that man is, it's Adam, disobedience, many, or in this case, all, were made sinners. And I want to share with you today that we're all sinners. And it's not by sinning that we become sinners. It's by being born. And something is wrong with our birth, as we discussed 2 weeks ago. So we must be born again. I want to make something very clear that was very hard for me to understand for a very long time. Fallen, sinful nature is what every one of us was born with. And we're going to have that until Jesus comes and changes us. But understand that fallen, sinful nature is not sin itself. But because we inherited this fallen, sinful nature from Adam, this is what causes us to sin. But sin itself is not here. We choose. We had no choice in being born with a fallen nature. But we do have the choice not to sin. And this is what we need to understand very clearly. Because if you were anything like I was when I was a teenager, I could justify it. Why would God create me this way if he didn't want me to do this? I know you've never probably done that, but Satan has convinced me that it's God's fault that I'm doing these sinful things. We have to justify sinning. But I praise the Lord that through study and through his drawing power, he draws us to him If he never drew us to him, nobody would ever respond. We would not decide on ourselves, by ourselves, to do what is right. It's because he is constantly drawing us, but he will never force us. Fallen human nature, as I said, is not sin itself. We are sinners whether we ever commit a sin or not. But please understand that even Jesus took our nature. And I won't get into that because it's too sacred. We humans cannot understand how Jesus could be 100% human and 100% God. Our minds will not process it. We are sinners by what Adam did and will remain sinners until Jesus comes. But that doesn't mean, folks, that we'll be sinning all the time. Now, I know people have said, in the Bible confirms this, that we do have an advocate, but it can be abused very easily. I'm going to do this, but I have an advocate that's going to take care of it. That's foolishness. It's like a very rich person that's very powerful, influential, has a son, and is always running to his rescue when he gets into trouble. God is not like that. We come to him as helpless as we are and admit to him that we don't have the power within ourselves to keep from sinning. And he will give us the help that we need. If you will take your Bibles now and turn with me to Romans 3:10. And I want to read a few texts that maybe we don't like to read, but we need to read them. And it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. But God is always seeking after us. And he says, come unto me. He never forces us because it doesn't work. It never has and it never will. Also in our Sabbath school lesson a few weeks ago in Ephesians 2:3, it says that we are children of wrath. But praise God, he can change that if we're willing to let him change. Now if we will turn over to Romans 7:18, Romans chapter 7, verse 18. And it says, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform it is what is good I do not find. Now, I know it came into even the Adventist church. It came into Christianity that your problem is you don't have enough self-esteem. I don't know if you've ever heard that or not, but I heard that so much. You need self-esteem because that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to have this self-esteem. But the text I just read sort of demolishes that, doesn't it? We have nothing in us that's worthy of anything. So, what does that scripture tell us? It's not self-esteem, but because of what God did for us, we are worthy. Only because what God has done for us. So this should be a blessing to each one of us that we're worth what God went through that we could be with him. I mean, here's all of these sinners, every one of us. We're on level ground. There's no exceptions. But because of what Jesus did for us, he can keep us from sinning. And he will take us to heaven to be with him forever. So compared to what he gave up, what he did, what he suffered, And what we do is just no comparison. So if our hearts are evil, and they are, and we cannot change them, which we can't, then how can we ever obey? Now here's the bad news. We can't. In our fallen human nature, in our flesh, and that's what that means, we cannot obey God's commandments. But it doesn't end there. Here's the good news. It is only as we come to Jesus, admitting our helplessness and accepting Him by faith, and here's where it comes in, is obedience by faith, accepting Him by faith, that we are put right with God. And that is the only way, folks. That is the only way. We can't do penance. There's nothing we can do but come to Him and admit how helpless we are and ask forgiveness, confess only to Him. Of course, if we've wronged somebody else, we need to go and talk with them. Brother, sister, in my haste, I said things, I did things, and I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Then you take it to the Lord. And here's something that's hard for me. He will forgive us when? As we forgive others. I like the first part. The hard part is forgiving others. Now, I don't mind forgiving others as long as I get my pound of flesh. And then, you know, then when I finally leveled out, then I could forgive. But it's very difficult for me. It is not our trying hard to make ourselves acceptable to God. It's not trying hard that makes us acceptable to God. Nor is it trying hard to obey that makes us obedient. Both acceptance and obedience come as a gift from God. Did you get that, folks? I had not realized that until I studied for this sermon. And you know, I got to thinking that every good thing that happens to us is a gift from God. As we breathe in and breathe out, that's a gift. So if we realize that all of this is a gift, that we will maintain that relationship, and I know that relationship has been distorted. As long as you have a relationship, you can do most anything you want to. But a true relationship with God is that we live according to His law. His law is 10 promises. His law is a transcript of His character. And Satan has turned that around until, and I have done it before, I'm going to try hard today to keep your commandments because I want to go to heaven. That's legalism, folks. It never works that way, and it never will. But because I know Jesus, it's my privilege to know Him, then I can keep the commandments by faith in Him. Okay. And I want to read a statement from Steps to Christ. Well, that's not the one I wanted, but I'm going to read that one too. This one comes from Desire of Ages 668. But before I read that, I want to ask you to turn to Hebrews, the 5th chapter. And we want to start reading at the 6th verse. And two, in the Sabbath school, those that weren't there missed a beautiful Sabbath school. And Derek used that text, and I said, oh no, he's going to steal my sermon. But he discussed it, and I got to thinking, wouldn't it be wonderful that everybody had a text and stole the sermon that was going to be preached. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I know it was, when he read that, I said, oh no, and then I said, praise the Lord. I mean, this is important to, at least to Derek, and it was to the Sabbath school class. So, I certainly received a blessing, but let's read. And starting with verse 6, this is Hebrews, the 5th chapter, and the 6th verse. As he, that is God, as he also says to another, in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. That's a deep study there. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication, that we're talking about Jesus, with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And that was his Father. And has heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, now this is Jesus, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And we talked about Jesus suffered even though he never committed sin. We suffer because we commit sin. He suffered for us. He died for us that we don't have to suffer. But we choose to suffer. I never choose to suffer. Some people do. They want to whip themselves and think that that's going to appease God. But I never wanted to suffer. I never liked to suffer. I never tried to suffer. But I did the things that caused suffering to me. And I praise the Lord that he brought me back. Because I went out of the church, I totally rejected everything that had ever been taught. But it was still here. It was still in my heart. Amen. And my conscience bothered me for a while. And I've told you this before, it's an old Indian legend. He said the conscience is like a little three-pronged wheel, little metal wheel inside your heart. And every time you sin, it turns and it hurts. But the more it turns, the smoother the tips are, and you don't even notice it. I'm thankful I didn't go that far. But when I did come back, do you think I suffered? I suffered tremendously because I had habits that were almost impossible to break. And without the power and help of God, I probably never would have. But even though he is there to help you, he does not relieve you of the effects of your life. And I've told you many times, I'm not proud of it. But I wanted the world because I was convinced I couldn't have both. I couldn't have heaven. And Satan convinced me heaven was out of the question. So I said, I better get all I can out of this world. There's nothing in this world that's worth anything. It's a lot of pleasure. But then when I came back, I had to give up all those habits. And it suffered. I don't know. We weren't into drugs in my day. But understand it is a tremendous hard thing to do to break the habit of drugs, cocaine, and so forth. And there's other habits. Still smoking cigarettes, even though now the government, I had a person tell me years ago, well, if smoking cigarettes was harmful, your Ellen White is not the one to tell us. The government would tell us. Now the government tells them they still smoke. So it doesn't make any difference. People do what they want to do. But I struggled and struggled. And I've had people tell me, you know, if you can just stop smoking for 2 weeks, you got it whipped. Baloney. I did stop smoking. I mean, cold turkey. And all kinds of things went through my mind to keep me, because I work with people that blow smoke in your face. They'd never give you a cigarette when you were smoking. But once you tried to quit, they'd come and shake them out and, you know, have another and blow smoke in your face. Same way with alcohol. So I know that you suffer, but Jesus suffered with me. And I overcame through his power.
Amen.
And I praise the Lord, and I never touched them since. But I wanted to read this. This is how we overcome, and you will suffer, no matter what your habit is. It could be pornography. There's enough out there for everybody to have their choice. But when you want to give it up, Satan works all the harder. I know this is an old cliche, but I can realize that. I can quit smoking any time I want to. I've quit 35 times. It's a very, very... And I wanted to tell you this. People said, give it up for 2 weeks and you got it whipped. No. Over a year, I was still craving cigarettes. And I just says, well, that's my lot. That was my choice. Nobody forced me to smoke, but I wanted to be with the crowd. But when I gave it up, it did not leave me for over a year. Every time somebody would light up, I'd still have that taste. I still wanted a cigarette. And I said, well, this is something I'm going to have to live with. And Lord, you're just going to have to help me. And I was willing to live with it the rest of my life. But he took it away from me after a year, and I praise the Lord. And now, all of a sudden, after a year, cigarette smoke was very offensive, and it still is today. When we know God, as it is our privilege to know him, our life will be a life of continual obedience. Desire of Ages 668. You notice when, what are the conditions? Everything is a condition. When we know God, and it's our privilege to know him. Now, how do we know God? We have his word here. We study. He has given us his servants to help us understand the Bible more clearly. But it's all right here. All we have to do is invest the time, and yes, it is effort. To start with, you almost have to force yourself like I did. I need to watch that program on television, but I'm going to. But now, see, it's reversed. I love to study. And I read a Bible text, and I want to know what it means, because I've had people tell me what they thought it meant, and it didn't sound right. So I would go back and study it until I got an answer. And the Lord will give you the answer. And now I plan to read this. I have a couple of more sermons on obedience by faith. But this one stands out because, folks, I always looked when I was a young person in church to the elders and the pastor. They'd already gained the victory. They had no more problems. They just had problems with the people, but their personal lives, they were there. And I wasn't. And the harder I tried, the worse it got. So I just gave up. But I praise the Lord that he never gave up on me. So I would like to tell you that I never get in this situation again, but I do. Satan is there. The closer, and this is in Steps to Christ, page 65, I believe. Yes. The closer you come to Jesus, the more faulty you will appear in your own eyes. Don't let that be disappointing to you. Because for your vision will be clearer and your imperfections will be seen in broad and distinct contrast to his perfect nature. So when we compare our life with Christ's life, it can be discouraging because we're so far behind. But this is evidence that Satan's delusions have lost their power.
Amen.
So I praise the Lord every time. It still comes back. We had a computer 3 years and it went down. We're getting it fixed. This computer here has been around for 72 years and it don't forget. Now, it forgets the good things, but it does not forget every sin I ever committed. Satan punches a button and he rolls it and he rolls it and he rolls it. It used to discourage me, but it encourages me now that this is evidence that Satan's delusion have lost their power, that the vivifying influence of the Spirit of God is arousing you. Praise the Lord for that. Let us sing for our closing song. Page 532. And this tells us how we can live a successful Christian life. It doesn't mean that we will never suffer. It doesn't mean that we'll never be severely tempted. But it does mean that if we live for Him day by day, and when I saw that day by day, I said, that's not enough. Because I can start out in the morning with the best of intentions, but boom, something happens. But moment by moment.
By day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day, the Lord himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of his child and treasure, is a charge that on himself he laid. As your days, your strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me he made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take, as from a Father's hand, one by one, the days and moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land.
Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your promise. And we know that you were here today through your Spirit. May we have open hearts to receive what you have in store for us. And may we remain faithful. And may we trust in Jesus. And may we count on him on every day, every moment of our lives. And he will never leave nor forsake us. This is a promise. And we claim that promise today. And we thank you and praise you for Jesus' name. Amen.